Lord God, help us to explore what it means that your power is made perfect in weakness and that your grace is sufficient for us. Show us the way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I saw an article about Russia before they were bumped out of the World Cup. They're the host team. As host team, they did not need to qualify, and many people said they really shouldn't have been there, which is the case with other host teams as well. But to the surprise of many, they persisted right up until, I believe it was yesterday, when they lost. But the Russian coach said, you know, there's all this positive press in Russia. Everyone's just going, you know, just overboard on the success of the Russian soccer team. And he said, it's not too good to read too much of that. Right? It's not too good to read too many headlines about how great you are. Because you know that because of injury or too many yellow cards, the face of the game can change in a moment, which is clearly a parable for life, right? As we are going through life and things are going well, let's not get too puffed up or think that we are pretty special, because things could change in an instant. And I believe the scriptures this morning lead us into the not always clear realm of this being weak and knowing God's strength, or feeling very strong, but giving glory to God and acknowledging God in the midst of your life and even your success. I was struck once, if I had a TV, I would watch sports just too much. It would be a bad thing for me. I love watching sports, and usually if we're at a restaurant, especially when the kids are small, the waitress would ask us if we had a TV at home, because the kids and I would be like this, watching whatever sports it was on TV. I remember seeing the quarterback of named Kurt Warner, and they won the Super Bowl. And one of the questions was, what are you going to do with the Super Bowl check? I can't remember how many hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he says, first thing I'm going to do is tithe to my church. You know, you don't hear that very often. I'm going to give glory to God through this success that I've experienced. It's easy just to swell up and say, yeah, I am pretty amazing, aren't I? David ran that temptation. In the first reading, he was in a tricky position because the king, Saul, had lost his mind. The king, Saul, had just gone so far afield from God's purposes that God was raising up David even in his midst. And Saul was very threatened by David because he saw that God's favor was upon him even though Saul was king. And Saul tried to kill David because his ego, I believe, was so wounded in being displaced by David in the hearts and minds of the people. There was a cheer that went out in a parade. Saul has killed thousands, but David his 10,000s. Can you imagine Saul going, oh, I hate it when I hear that cheer, right? David is present here in the reading, and Saul and his son Jonathan have been killed, and we heard that just last week. And so the people come to David, and listen to this. Listen to the appeal of David and how his ego could swell up. For some time while Saul was king over us, it was you who led Israel out and brought them in. It was you who the Lord spoke to. It was you who shall be shepherd of my people Israel. It was you who should be the ruler over Israel. Can you imagine David? You know, don't pop. All this, these accolades. Was it true? It was true. It was true. All those things they said were true. And so I thought that, you know, it would be quite common if you could hear the people saying, David, you the man. You the man. You the man. If you're a woman, it would be you the ma'am. You the ma'am. Right? And there are moments perhaps in your life when you were the ma'am. You were the man. You experienced a certain success or honor that made you feel, you know, really good. And maybe you were tempted to think that, in fact, you were the man. You were the ma'am. Well, let's continue and see where this goes. So they made a covenant with David and made him king. And if God wasn't in it, he wouldn't allow that. So there's some truth to this. And then we have sort of David's CV. It's just glowing. He reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months at Hebron, where the Ark of the Covenant was parked. And then in Jerusalem, as we sang, was considered the center of the world. He reigned over all Israel and Judah for 33 years. You the man. David was the man. Even God said of David, he was a man after my own heart. So dedicated was David. So there was so much good. Then we hear that David occupied the stronghold, and what did he name it? The city of David. Billboards lining each side of the street. King David, the city of David, you the man. And David became greater and greater. Do you see the risk here? Because the very last verse of the reading says this, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. The minute he forgot that, he was in trouble. And we saw and have seen David get in deep trouble. But one thing I'm so thankful of, that it's many of the Psalms are attributed to David, and we do see and have a view into David's heart. If the Lord himself had not been on our side, now let Israel say, if the Lord himself had not been on our side when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive when they were so wrathfully displeased at us. If the Lord had not been on our side, you hear how that balances out the victory that God had given Israel and David, the 10,000s that he conquered. Our help standeth in the name of the Lord, who hath made heaven and earth. What a healthy balance to these accolades, this greatness, really, that David experienced. It was all true, and yet he was very faithful to give glory to God. How about you? Do you accept the smaller things and go, yeah, thanks. I'm pretty good at that, really. Yeah, thank you very much. Or do we say, you know, praise God. I really thank God for allowing me to do that thing or to be that for you. I think it's important that we do give glory to God in all that we do. I think of the contrast both that Paul gives in his letter to the Corinthians and in the gospel. Jesus in his hometown, people are saying, what? Jesus? Messiah? And they took offense at Jesus because they feel that he claimed to be someone he wasn't. Now, no one likes that kind of person. Maybe you know someone like that. So full of themselves that, you know, they kind of do this. Well, enough about you. Let's talk about me. Do you know anyone like that? They're full of themselves. They even go so far as to present themselves as someone that they're not. Now, people like that need to be corrected, myself included. But to hear them trying to correct Jesus when he was who he said he was. And that's where it went, ooh. But Jesus, you know, didn't back away from the truth, and yet he didn't assert himself either. He spoke the truth. He was amazed at their unbelief, and he was only able to lay his hands and heal a few people. Some of us would be quite pleased with that track record. And yet Jesus, because of their unbelief, was limited in his community. Did you catch it? In his hometown, among his own kin, extended family, and in his own family. Did you catch that? So he was misunderstood even in his own family. Did he whinge about it? No one appreciates me. No, he didn't. He brought that to the Father and found his center there, his acceptance there. And so anyone who would follow Jesus needed to have that same attitude, the attitude of a servant. You might think, well, they weren't to bring anything. No staff, no bag, no bread, not even two tunics, just one. So that it wore out, they needed help, that the disciples were dependent. And I think that's probably one of the biggest threats to our faith. We live in such ease, most of us, that we can go along thinking, we can do this. This is not hard. Until some sort of calamity strikes and we realize that we aren't riding as high as we were before. Contrast David, who, again, I don't want to send him up as a negative example, but the temptation was there, and he did fall from a great height. As king, he exercised his power over others, raped a woman, and then had her husband killed. That kind of violence in his place of power brought disgrace upon the office of king. He was confronted by God's prophet Nathan, and he repented. Nothing could be done to right that wrong toward Bathsheba or her husband Uriah. And that was a stain on David for the rest of his life. And so we can see how power and that sense of I can do anything I want can thoroughly undermine our character and our actions. Contrast the image of Jesus, who, when no accolades were given, he just kept doing the Father's will. Until after his interview with Pontius Pilate, who said, "Don't you know I have the power to release you?" Do you remember what Jesus said? "I could call legions of angels at this moment to come to my rescue." As if Pilate had the power ultimately to do anything for Jesus. Jesus knew where his power lay. So Pilate wanted to release Jesus. Do you remember who they released instead? Barabbas. What did they do with Jesus? He released them to the professional torturers, the Romans. They beat him bloody. They mocked him and spit on him. I don't know if you've ever been spat upon, but it's disgusting. And to be spat upon by many. They dressed him in a purple robe, crammed a crown of thorns on his head, and then Pilate presented him before the people, bloodied, bruised, battered, and said, "Behold the man." No one was saying, "You the man. You the man, Jesus." But Pilate, I believe, through God's, I don't know, it's just this one of those moments, he says, "Behold the man." And so I think today, where all these scriptures lead, at least for me, Paul saying, "I revel in my weakness." Why? Behold the man, Jesus, who, though he appeared weak, came to us to show us two things: what God was like and what it means to be truly human and truly free. Behold the man. So whatever you're experiencing, not calling it good, but I pray that we'd have the hearts to perceive that Jesus is not far from us, because he comes as one humble He comes as one who's the lowest, and he comes to serve. That we'd shy away from you to man or you to ma'am and focus on Jesus. Behold the man.